Second Mile students, and the series that we are in is called Real. We got to get on our game tonight, man. Y'all are behind. Y'all are off. All right. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in a lot of different places tonight. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we are again in this series called Real, right? Because we've been talking about real conversations, right? We've been talking about things that we really struggle with, things that we really like face in our day-to-day lives, and stuff that we have questions about, stuff that maybe doesn't get preached on enough, talked about enough. And so we've talked about being a real Christian. We've talked about being, you know, what does church really look like? Was it supposed to be? We talked about real wine. We talked about what to do when bad things happen, or and grief and all those kind of things. We talked about real identity in big church a couple weeks ago. We talked about who God has made us to be. Last week we talked about real struggle. We talked about how we can, you know, in small ways combat anxiety and depression like stuff in our lives. And again, as always, if you want to check those out, those are available on our website if you want to go back and listen to some of those and do all that. But tonight we're going to be talking about a topic that I know affects a lot of people in this room, because tonight we are talking about real dating. Yeah. Now everybody's so excited to talk about dating. Yeah. So I imagine probably 75% of the room, that number is probably higher, but we'll be on the safe side. 75% of the room at least has had a boyfriend or girlfriend at some point, and have dated somebody at some point. Some of you insist on telling me about your crushes and stuff and all of that. All of y'all are involved in this some way or another. But tonight I want to talk about what the whole point of dating is supposed to be about, and what does that look like for y'all as middle school, high school age students. So what is the point of dating, right? Several things. We're going to jump right into it. What's the point of dating? Well, dating is, first of all, fun. Like, it's cool to go out on dates and stuff. Yeah, have fun, right? Yeah, that's one of the main things, right? It offers validation, right? Everybody loves to have someone that tells them that they're pretty, you know, or they look good, or they do cool things. Yeah, it's validating, right? It can be a friendship, right? That's kind of how dating should be. It should be finding a friend. It works on your social skills, and it should. Listen, y'all. Now's not the time to, like, be looking at people, because you're going to be looking at people this whole time, I promise, because I'm going to be calling out people the whole night. It's going to be okay. All right? So now's not the time to be looking at the people across the way and saying, this is you, okay? Because it will be, but it'll also be you. Dead serious. It'll also be you. So, it also works on relationship skills. Now, here's the kicker. That's not how we often treat dating. How we often treat dating is we treat dating as some sort of fulfillment in our lives. Like, oh, I have to have a boyfriend or girlfriend or I'm not good enough. Or, oh, I have to have a boyfriend or girlfriend because, like, the guys expect me to have a girlfriend. Or, like, it represents a status thing in our lives. Okay, well, yeah, I got a boyfriend. Oh, yeah, I got a girlfriend. And, like, that elevates you among the other people or something like that. So sometimes some of us out there, you just need to have a boyfriend or girlfriend because you think you need to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Some of you out there may only be looking for the physical side of things. Some people use it like that. And we're not going to talk about that this week. We're going to take a whole week and we're going to dive into sex. So gear up for that. It's going to be big. But here's what we're going to talk about tonight, though. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about dating. Now, does anybody know what the Bible says about dating? The correct answer is you don't, because the Bible doesn't talk about dating. Why? And I know that's like shocking. Like, what do you mean the Bible doesn't talk about dating? Here's the reason why the Bible doesn't talk about dating. Why? Because dating didn't exist in Bible times. Yeah, like literally most marriages, probably 99% of marriages, 99.9% of marriages back in that time, arranged. Mom and dad picked who you married. And it was for some sort of reason. It was, you know, you created marriages for land, or you created marriages for influence or business relationships. And really the only people who got to pick who they married were royal people. And they didn't ever pick their first wife. They picked their, you know, third and fourth, you know, because they just liked them. They thought they looked pretty or something. But on the real, on the whole, back then, marriages were arranged and designed with specific purposes in mind. Oftentimes, and this is going to sound a little creepy, you're looking at 25 to 30-year-old men being connected to 13 to 15-year-old girls. And that's just because that was the society that you lived in. The whole purpose of females back then was to be a wife, make a home, produce heirs. The guys were out there supposed to be establishing themselves, having jobs, taking care of their families. But that was the society back then, and you know, it's obviously not the same now, and that's for the better, but that's the way it was back then. And not only adding to that of just how the societal norms of back then, dating would have been impossible back in those days because of the cultural context. Women didn't just go outside unchaperoned. They always went out with an older woman or their husbands or their fathers, or there was always someone. No, women didn't just walk alone or go out on their own unless they were a woman of ill repute, we'll just say, or a prostitute or something like that. You know, if you went out and did that kind of stuff alone, that's what you were considered. You weren't a very moral woman. Not only that, women in Jewish context, which is where our Bible comes from, in Jesus' day, you didn't just speak to a man, all right, unless it was, especially without the presence of a family member. And so that was just the way things were. So that's what makes Jesus going up to like the Samaritan woman, or him going, having a friend like Mary Magdalene, out of the ordinary, because that's not how those interactions happened in those days. But because of all that, that's why the Bible speaks so much about marriage. Because back then, you just were given somebody. And whether or not you were compatible, you had to make it work. And so back then, you just kind of had to learn the person that you were given and learn to love them. And so we're also going to talk about marriage in a few weeks, which is not directly applicational to y'all, but hopefully most of y'all will be married someday. But, so the Bible gives a lot of time to that, but it doesn't give any time to dating. However, what the Bible does speak on is it speaks on singleness some. It talks about being unmarried some. So that's where we're going to start our conversation tonight. We're going to see what Paul kind of has to say about this kind of stuff, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to read in verse 8 and 9, and then we're going to skip ahead to 25, because Paul kind of lays out what he's going to talk about and then goes into greater detail in the later section. So, verse 8 and 9, it says this, "To the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to remain single, as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." And he explains himself later on, so we're going to skip ahead to verse 25. And it says this, "Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one by whom the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things and how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So, that's unfortunate news, isn't it? All of you in this room right now, right? What it could seem like Paul's saying is that you're not married, so guess what? You shouldn't be married. That's not what Paul is saying. In this context of what he's saying here, Paul thought that the second coming of Christ was very imminent. And as each generation since him has thought, they look at the world and they think, yep, Christ is coming back. This world is just too bad. We keep on living. No one knows the time or the day. It could be tomorrow. It could be another 1,000 years. But what Paul is saying here in this moment, he's saying if we are truly going to live sold out, I'm warning you, brothers and sisters, marriage can split your attention. What he's saying here is that marriage can cause anxiety and stresses, and it can, right? As a husband or a wife, you do have to now worry about more than just yourself. And then if you add kids into that, you definitely have to worry about more than just yourself. You don't know none, Aaron. But what Paul is saying, though, is that it's not a sin to be married. It's not a sin. And it's better to be married than to be sexually immoral and to live that lifestyle. But what Paul is saying is he's saying to go the direction that helps you to best serve the Lord. Go the direction that helps you to best serve the Lord. So with that in mind, how do we date in a biblical manner? So it starts with this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 contains a very famous passage of Scripture. We're going to look in verse 34. And it says this, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Verse 37, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So how do we date biblically? It starts here. It starts with God. So my first point tonight on dating biblically is to do this. Don't date if it interferes with your walk with God. Don't date if it interferes with your walk with God. This is the greatest commandment, that we must love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. If we are too busy trying to love somebody else that we neglect God, we've missed the point. Even in marriage, it's a constant battle to try to make sure that we are putting God first, even before we put that other person, even before we put our kids, because that's what's got to be so important. And so, again, don't date if it's going to mess with that relationship. But quite frankly, the commands follow in the way they do for a reason. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And they're positioned that way because unless we are loving God with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with our strength, we'll never be capable of really loving somebody else in the way that we ought to. So again, unless we can get this part right, the loving God part right, we don't need to be dating because we don't know how to love anybody else. We got to get this part right. We got to get the walk with God right. We got to love God so that we can love other people. So, don't date if it interferes with your walk with God. Two is this, date with a purpose. Date with a purpose. The sole purpose of dating, hear me, the sole purpose of dating is to find a marriage partner. The sole purpose of dating is to find a marriage partner. Now, there are other good benefits. We talked about those, right? It's fun, it's validating, it's friendship, it's all these other things. But the original purpose, the singular purpose of dating is marriage. And so I'm going to say this. If you're just dating to have a friend, then just be friends. You don't need all this extra girlfriend, boyfriend things. And here's why that is. Because when you are in a dating relationship, naturally things tend to be a little bit more intimate. Things become more intimate as you spend a lot of time with another person. The more time you spend with another person, the closer you become. The more they know about you, the more you know about you, the closer you become. If there's attraction and there's closeness, I don't have to explain the birds and the bees to you. Things kick off. So if all you're looking for is a friend, let's cut the middle thing out so that we don't end up in the physical inappropriateness. If all we're looking for is a friend, just be a friend. Because otherwise we can walk down a very dangerous road. So, don't date if it interferes with your walk with God. Date with purpose. Number three is this, and this is a do not. Do not date missionally. Do not date missionally. Let me explain what I mean by that. You go on a mission trip, right? What's the purpose of a mission trip? To go out and to evangelize, to share the gospel with people. Don't date like it's a mission trip. Look, I hear it all the time. Y'all laugh, but I hear it all the time. Oh, I'll change him. Oh, I'll change her. Look, since they've started dating me, they've started coming to church. Listen, y'all. Just invite them to church. Just invite them to church. All right? Look, it never works the way we think it will. 9 times out of 10, there are the rare occasions that it does work. But 9 times out of 10, they take you down. Why do they take you down? Because you cannot expect non-believers to hold the same standards that you do as a believer. You can't expect a non-believer to hold the same standards that you do as a believer. If I want to be a Christian and I want to act like a Christian, and I have these standards in place, if I date a non-Christian, and I have, they're going to push boundaries. They're going to be the same person that you knew they were when you started to date them. They're going to be the rough around the edges, the foul mouth, the vulgar, the whatever it is, they're going to be that person. Sure, they may act changed for a little while. But unless they already believe what you believe, you're standing on an equal ground. The Bible talks about this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 14, it says this. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? You know, we see this all the time. We cannot date missionally because it will be us that will be dragged down. We go to their level because in the end of the day, we're human, and in the back of ourselves, we want to live as the world does too. And dating someone who lives as the world does is just an invitation for you to join them in living that way. So, that's why God said, do not be unequally yoked. Y'all, He said this from the beginning of His people. He told them, the Israelite nation, don't intermarry with other nations. Why? Because those other nations brought their gods in. And the Israelites started worshiping their gods. And time again, we see God having to send prophets to clear them out. And then we see it again here in the New Testament. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, hey, don't be unequally yoked, because when you let that in, you go down. So don't date missionally. Date with purpose. Make sure your walk with God is at the top. So on the flip side of that, date someone that will push you to be better. Date people that push you to be better. That means several things. That means date someone that pushes you to be better at your faith, right? Date and hopefully marry a person that challenges you every single day, constantly, to grow in your faith. That says, hey, you're not putting your faith first. Hey, your priorities are wrong. Hey, focus up. Someone that pushes you back to God with their actions. Someone that's willing to look at you and say, hey, I haven't seen you read your Bible in like a week. What's going on? Someone that says, hey, your response, that was not Christ-like. What's going on? Someone that pushes you to be better. Someone that also pushes you just to be a better person in general. Look, this is going to be a little bit controversial because it goes against what the world kind of tells you a little bit. But look, y'all, don't shop around until you find a person that's just simply willing to put up with you. All right? The world says, hey, be who you, unapologetically who you are. Okay? And I'm not telling you to change yourself and do all this for somebody else, but I'm telling you, don't be a piece of garbage that just expects somebody else to put up with your garbage. I see that all the time. Good-looking people act crazy because they can get away with it. People that are really good at talking themselves around situations do what they want and then just apologize and talk their way out of it. Don't be that person. Don't be a person that expects somebody just to put up with you as you are. Be a person that walks in expecting to grow and learn, treat the other person with respect, apologize and mean it. Be a person that grows and be with a person that pushes you to be a better person. And use this time of dating to learn how to be a better person. Yo, I was a knucklehead. And I did a lot of stupid stuff growing up. And to be honest, I'm the guy, that second person that I was talking about, that was really good at just talking themselves out of situations. And I had to learn a very hard lesson. One of the biggest lessons that I ever had to learn was that just because I said something and I didn't mean it the way they took it doesn't mean it didn't hurt. And so I had to learn that, hey, intention is not everything, but also how it's received. And that's just one small thing. But y'all, that's what this dating time period is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about learning to love people better. It's also about, if you get into a long-term relationship, it's learning how to love people in all seasons of life. How to learn somebody when it's hard. How to love somebody when it's hard. How to love through some tough times and some tough seasons too. Now, when you're dating, especially at this stage, that's not as big of an expectation. As you get older and you start really seriously dating for marriage, that is an expectation. Because if you jump out when times get tough, you'll do the same thing when you go to get married. And that's not how God intends marriage either. So use your time of dating to grow. Grow in your faith, grow as a person, date people that push you to be better in both areas. Don't date missionally. Don't date if it hinders your walk with God. Date with purpose. This is outside of the actual relationship of dating, but have a good group of friends and listen to them. Y'all, you want to know the number one way to know if somebody's probably not right for you? Ask a friend. Ask a family member that knows you really well. Because here's the reality. We get into these relationships and we're so excited and we're kind of love struck and we just, oh, they're just perfect. And your friends don't see that person the same way. They're not love struck. They're not blind. They see the red flag as they see the flaws. You already trust these people. They're your friends. Trust their opinions on who you date to. They know you. And they're not letting the things pass by. Go on group dates and third wheel often. All right? That way the people around you that love you can see the person that you're dating. And truth be told, if you're dating someone who protests all the time that your friends are hanging out with them, they're probably up to no good anyway, and they want to get you alone and do weird things, all right? That's not the situation you want to be in either. All right? I read a quote when I was researching up on this, and it says this. It says, "Lean hard on the people who know you best, love you most, and will tell you when you're wrong." Y'all, that's key to dating. Because looking back on mine, again, I was a knucklehead. I dated some girls who I had no business dating. They were wrong for me. Sometimes I was the opposite, and I was the guy they needed to be getting away from. Y'all, listen to the people that are in your life. Listen to people that know you well. That don't have any bias or obstructions. Get them involved. Because when you're dating somebody and eventually you're marrying somebody, they need to be incorporated into that life too. And that goes right into my next point. Don't isolate. Don't isolate. Because y'all, it's easy to do. The longer you go in a dating relationship, the more tendency that isolate off into just you two it becomes. And it's a natural thing, right? As you grow closer, you get, you know, to be best friends, and all of a sudden the people that you would have told some of the things that you would talk to, your friends, right? Well, now you have another best friend that you're talking to. And you ever notice that, how somebody gets a boyfriend or girlfriend and all of a sudden you aren't friends anymore? It happens. Again, don't point at people, all right? They know who they are. But y'all, in that isolation, while it's a natural thing, that's exactly what the enemy wants. Because when you're isolated, when you're alone, that's exactly where he wants you to be. It's how he wants you in your own personal life. The more time you spend alone, the easier it is for you to get into sin and to rationalize it. The more time you spend alone as a couple, the easier it is for you to get into sin and to rationalize it. It's easier to succumb to sin in isolation. And it's a whole lot easier to cover them up. Have accountability. Have people outside this relationship that you're talking to, that you let in. And have a life outside of your relationship. Keep your friends up. Do things with them. Don't make your relationship your personality. Don't isolate. Ultimately, I want to leave you with this. And it comes from 2 Timothy. This is another verse from Paul. 2 Timothy 2:22. And y'all, this is how we should live our lives, but it's also a good way to look at dating. All right? And it says this. "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Y'all, I'm not telling you to just go out and break up any relationship that you have going, all right? But I am going to tell you, if you're not dating somebody that's calling on the Lord with a pure heart too, evaluate. Again, dating, you can treat it like a friendship. You think about the people that you surround yourself with. You think about the inputs that you surround yourself with, whether that's music, whether that's social media, all this stuff like that. The more stuff that you intake, whatever you intake becomes a part of you. And the frequency in which you intake those things, the bigger that becomes a part of you. It's kind of like moving from the south up north. The longer somebody goes from the south and they live up north, they come back and their accent's changed. Why? Because they're around the people that sound different, and they begin to sound like the people that they live around. Y'all, it's the same thing with who you hang out with, with what you listen to, with what you take in. The more you are around them, the more you begin to sound like them, look like them, act like them. And who are you around the most when you're dating somebody? That's why it's so incredibly important that when you're dating somebody that's running at God the same speed you are. Because the more you hang around them, the more you listen to them, if they're chasing God and I'm chasing God, we both look more like Christ. And that's the goal, y'all. So, when it comes to dating, don't isolate. Have a good friend group. Listen to them. Right? Date someone that pushes you to be a better person. Don't date missionally. Date with purpose. Don't date if it interferes with your walk with God. And remain focused on that. All right, y'all? I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll dismiss. Appreciate y'all being here tonight, and I love y'all. And I hope that as you go around and you date people and whatnot, you keep these kinds of things in mind. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this group that's come out tonight. And God, I know that this can kind of feel like a bit of a soapbox, but God, I hope that we hear it. God, I hope that they can learn from my mistakes, and God, I hope that as they pursue dating relationships, God, they pursue people that are also chasing after you. God, I pray that as we date, as we look towards the future as we date, and we look towards the people we want to spend the most time with, and maybe even eventually marry, God, that you help us to choose wisely. You place people in our lives, good people that we can listen to and we can trust, people with good discernment that can give us good advice. And God, I pray that you would place good people around us. And God, you would challenge the men and young men and women that are out here, God, to be better people, to be people worthy of being dated, as well as discernment to know who to date. I pray that you would guard them and protect them as they go out. And I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.